A Life in Construction podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Watson Bowman Acme. Since 1950, Watson Bowman Acme has provided the commercial construction industry with the highest quality expansion joints available. Carrying the internationally recognized Weibo brand of products, we are able to meet the movement, loading, and waterproofing demands of any commercial project. Not just a product supplier, our promise is to be your strongest partner for expansion joints and responsible solutions. Visit us on the web at wbacorp.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm John Manning. We want to welcome you to another edition of A Life in Construction. My guest today is Mr. Jeff Kukta. Jeff is our marketing specialist. We're going to discuss BIM. What is BIM, right, Jeff? What is BIM and why is it important in the industry nowadays and how do we use it in the industry nowadays? And before we go into that, I know BIM stands for Building Information Modeling, but before we go into the details and the depth of it, what do you do here, Jeff? How do you use BIM here at Watson Bowman? Give us a little background on yourself and what you do every day.
Okay, thanks, John. I'm Jeff Kukta again with the marketing department. Like everybody in the world, we all wear many hats. I help with the product collateral, often found on our website. So if anyone out there finds an error, you can get a hold of me and I can fix that for you.
Nice.
I help facilitate new product development here as well, one of the other hats I wear. But in as regards to BIM, I help our customers use our BIM content in their specific structures for their specific needs. So we have our standard content, but if they need content made for a specific application, well, I can help get that to them, saving the architects and the GCs and engineers time so they can focus on other things and just apply our products into their BIM model.
So great lead in. So thanks for that. And yeah, we do wear many hats in the industry, just like everybody else. And one of them is we're going to talk about is the BIM modeling today. What is BIM used for, Jeff?
In the most generalist terms, what I like to tell people, it's building information modeling.
Okay.
So finally, the industry caught up with being able to draw in 3D. In a sense, that's really what it comes down
right.
to. So now
when,
that we
when,
can...
When you say 3D, when you're talking about like CAD and stuff like that and blueprints, and right?
Correct. So yeah. Not to date myself, but I started on the drafting board with pen and pencil.
Okay.
And now we have CAD. And for right. years, it's been 2D. Especially the AEC industry has always been 2D for the longest time.
Now, what does AEC stand for? Do you know?
Architecture, engineering, construction.
Okay.
So that industry was typically just 2D boards or 2D
sure.
drafting. And now there a software has come out, or a couple softwares, that help the engineers and the architects draft and draw and create content and structures in 3D. The beauty of that is all of the components are now being put in there. So where you might not have drawn everything because of time constraints, now you can put in furniture, you can put in HVAC and electrical conduits and all those type of construction components can all be in there. And there's information. That's the I in BIM. That's the big player in this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's content behind it. If I need to go to a vendor's website or get a hold of somebody, that is typically embedded in the model. So it's easy to access. I don't have to Google search anybody. It's typically, if I use something from someone, it's already in their content. And if it's thinking about that, it's already created. So a lot of the stuff out in the universe, other than maybe this new structure or this new stadium, whatever they're designing,
mm-hmm.
all the components are typically out there already, and you can just, in a sense, drag and drop them in. But when you do that, you often see interferences, or you often see collisions, or those things that you might see in the job site months down the road.
Right.
Now you can see that earlier on.
Oh. So if they're doing a model of a new building, let's say, right, you're saying they can drop these little pieces of furniture in, they might have... Even just like you could put something on the wall and you can put something in the bathroom. You could put something like a couch in there. And now you can see and place it in there so you get a better picture of what's going on versus just 3D. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah. Back in the older days when I first started, there was always like a floor plan where things weren't on the floor. And then there was a reflected ceiling plan. And never did the two worlds meet. So you really had to have an idea in your head of the space. Well, now being in 3D, well, we can plop ourselves right in the building, move the camera around, or design in such a way that right away we can see, oh, that's too whole, that's too low, that's too high. Oh, those two universes collide, whatever that may be. So it's real-time information in a sense, basically building the structure in a 3D virtual interface, whereas before you would have to wait till it gets to the job site, and we know how costly that can be to make changes in the job site.
So I kind of watched some of those shows on TV where they, you know, they'll go into a house, they're going to remodel the house, they're going to lay it out, they're going to redo it for the people on the show. Would that be a representation of BIM, how they lay out the cabinets, how they lay out the table, and they put that all in the plan, and then they show it to them, and they go, this is where we're at, this is what the finished product's going to be?
In a very basic way, yeah, that highlights the technology that we have.
Okay.
It does not show the information behind it.
Okay.
And, you know, using information as a talking point, we can take a structure and do a wind load analysis now, where you have a physical structure, a 3D physical structure drawn to scale. We can put it in the city of Chicago, and we can map and do a wind analysis against the building to see, and those type of seismic things or whatever the analysis is, where we, again, couldn't do that in a 2D world.
So here for us at Watson Bowman, how often have you used BIM on a project?
It's becoming much more and more frequent.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for over a decade and helping our customers and putting our content out there, but we're seeing much more, one, different users. It was used to be just architects and the big players. Now it's the smaller firms as well, because everybody's using it. And it's matriculating down to the GCs and the contractors and the subs, actually, which is a lot of what our universe is. So maybe the subcontractors, they're boots on the ground. Those are guys installing things.
Sure.
They're not tech savvy per se, and maybe they're, but they need to be, because they're being asked from above to provide BIM content so they can go back to the architects and the GCs and down the lines for interference detection. So that's where we can help them and have helped them. Let us help you, in a sense.
Yeah. So I think going back a couple of years ago when we worked on the project with Apple, and we were putting some joints in there for seismic joints. And then we noticed there were some flaws in the plans that were laid out by the architect. Was that BIM that picked up the flaws that we ran in the interferences of the expansion joint and the seismic detail?
Not necessarily BIM. It was drawing in 3D, and which, again, is part of the BIM universe.
Okay.
It wasn't the information. It was having... and again, the architect missed it, but it was
right.
It was us being in 3D and be able to move things around and see it in scale. And as we programmed the seismic interface or movements in there, we were able to see an interference that we were able to take back to the architect and have them change their plans a little bit.
Which is really cool, right? I mean, I'm sure the architect came back and said, wow, this is great.
Well,
great information. Right.
And, you know, and that's the beauty of BIM. I think architects are so busy. We know how busy they are. And the projects are such large scale. They're going to miss things. And often in the past, 30 years ago, it lands at the job site. And then
right.
We have the change order and we have to move this, punch a hole here. And it just becomes much, much more expensive. So we can see all these things in the future or well before months down the road or before we start pouring concrete or any part of the structure.
Well, yeah, change orders are great for, you know, for the subcontractor or the general contractor, but the owner's not crazy about them.
Fair. Right? Absolutely.
Right. There's, so it's a great way to look at in advance, see if there's any issues and minimize those change orders to minimize cost to the customer at the end of the day as well.
Absolutely.
So we talked about 3D, we talked about software. So is BIM technically a software?
No, it isn't. I refer to it as an ideology. It's a thought process.
Okay.
There are softwares out there that people use to do BIM and draw and add the information and do the analysis. But BIM in itself, again, is an industry ideology. It's just a different way of doing things. There's probably a word for it before BIM, and there'll be a word for it after BIM. But today we call it building information modeling. Again, we're adding more content to the documents that we create for better benefit months down the road.
Yeah. So how many years has this technology or this thinking been around in the industry?
I'd say well over a decade.
Okay.
It just was expensive and nobody was doing it. And you need, quite frankly, with some of the softwares and to do the analysis, you need better hardware. So the hardware, the PCs, the laptops have all caught up. The software has gotten smarter. They're always making changes because this didn't work or this crashed or whatever the case may be. So the software companies are getting smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, from above, there's becoming more and more mandates from different agencies for projects where BIM is actually being mandated now.
Which kind of leads me into my next question. You talk about different agencies. Are you aware of any of the current DOTs using BIM?
We're seeing more and more of that. Yes, different states have different needs, and the federal government has its own needs. This has been a thing over the UK and that side of the pond for the longest time. There's much more requests for BIM and mandates for BIM. In the US, we're seeing much more of an uptick, especially with infrastructure and larger structures. They are actually now starting to, and the DOTs are starting to require it. What's interesting is we've started seeing a hybrid model where DOTs are, you know, that certain contractors just aren't there yet for finances or knowledge base, whatever the case is. So they're allowing you to submit documents as you have in the past, but also include, they're highly encouraging you to include a BIM model content, whatever you want to call it,
sure,
to complement it. And I would think someday in the future, we'll see that phase out and get rid of the paper and start just using the electrical content.
So, yeah. So it's all about efficiencies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So another example of an efficiency for maybe a DOT or an architect or an engineer would be what?
Again, it gets down to seeing the design conditions prior to building and putting concrete in the ground or putting boots on the ground. Labor is always, you know, everybody wants to get off the job site, be it a bridge or a building, as soon as you can, right? Because we want to get onto the next project. And again, drawing months ahead of time in 3D, if the worlds are aligned, we can meet these conditions, see the conditions, and answer for them well before we start shipping products to the job site or shipping people to the job site.
Okay, so that's great information. Are there any active associations that, you know, somebody can get involved with? Is there a BIM community? Is it like an ISO community? Where do you go to get more information on this?
Well, it's every firm has their own standard, and it's proprietary, and that's their claim to fame. We do things this way, and it makes us great. And every large firm and small firm has kind of gone down that road. But there are, each state has their own little communities. There are standards now coming. The U.S. has recently signed a memorandum of understanding with the U.K. to compare notes, to compare thought processes. What are you guys doing over there? Would it work in the U.S.? There's going to be some struggle and pushback because, again, these firms, that's their IP. That's what they bring to the table. There's going to be some pushback. But
I
think holistically, it's better for everybody if we start doing things similarly. There will always be differences, but I think it's incredible for me to see the discussions are taking place to further promote and use BIM going forward.
So there's kind of like new international standards that everybody would be on the same page. Everybody would have the same concepts, the same thinking, the same programming, the same patterns, like the international signs for shipping, right? You're kind of referring to that as well. It's very similar to that, and that's where the standards want to go.
It's very similar to that. And most large projects now have a BIM implementation plan anyways. And this is a plan from the architects typically, or the owners, that says you will do this way. And this is our expectation. When you give us an electronic deliverable, a BIM content, we want it in this format, in this way, and here's the rules to play by. So most large structures and infrastructure projects already have that in place that GCs and others down the line have to follow. So hopefully, and again, each one is different because each firm is different, each owner is different, but hopefully we all start getting aligned and they're, hopefully, I would like to think in years to come, there'll be an industry standard of some sort.
So I'm kind of thinking of this in different ways and how it may contribute to the industry. Would this like relate to the green or the carbon footprint of future modeling?
That has a lot to do with us. So again, now having that object or that structure in 3D, we can do analysis. And a lot of that is CO2 emissions or different sustainable analysis on the structures.
Correct.
So yes, it's absolutely part of that conversation. Couldn't do that on a 2D piece of paper. Couldn't do that necessarily when the building's built. But now when we have that 3D content drawn to scale, everything's there that's supposed to be there, represented the way it would be in the real world, we can now understand before construction the pros and cons of certain product building materials, where is it, and those type of things.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of the DOTs, a lot of the government bureaucracies changing their thinking and their patterns. This is a great way to minimize the carbon footprint, to be responsible, right? what other values could be added to that that you could think of just from a company standpoint or a government standpoint that's going to be better for the working man or the working woman, the economy, the global economy? What other contributions can this bring to that?
Well, just having BIM as part of the narrative, I think, is huge. And depending on any part of the business spectrum, be it you're the owner or down the line, there's going to be a value in how we...
Value proposition.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So especially, you know, climate and the issues we're having now, sure. We can see all this stuff beforehand. And maybe this building material we want to use, maybe there's a better one that we can use. And maybe shipping it. So even you have the discussions of, I want to use this building material, but it's got to ship from Portland across the country. There's trucks involved. All those things are part of the conversation. The sun, the wind loads, all those type of things are now becoming part of the conversations, which they weren't before. And it affects the people on the job site, the people designing it, and the people in those communities as well.
That's awesome. It really is. And it sounds like we're going to be needing this in the future for future generations as well. So that's really important to keep in mind. Jeff, are we seeing any mandates or requests in the U.S. today?
We're seeing more and more, and unfortunately, that's as kind of stated earlier, hinted at earlier, it's kind of the problem is that there isn't. Okay. But we are seeing more and more states take it upon themselves. I think it's just a matter of time before the federal government says, hey, you know, we see great value in this too. And I'm sure they do in the larger government buildings and those type of things. But as a push down from above, I think it's more of I can see more of an alliance with states and because, again, firms are already doing this. They have their own way.
Okay.
And they're very efficient at it. And this has been around a while. This is a tool people are using, big and small firms. But maybe those lessons learned can be shared amongst others.
So this is probably going to be like a mandatory thing in the next 5 to 10 years for almost all the government agencies or all the DOTs or just architects and firms that are involved in this industry, right? Is that a good nail?
We're absolutely seeing that. Yeah, and what's interesting is it's trickling down where it used to be just a tool that the architects and engineers used. Now they're pushing it against the GCs, and the GCs now have to accommodate, and then they're going to force their subs to do that too. So we're actually seeing that, and I can't see it going backwards. It's only going to be required more.
So this is really going to be like a whole new trade. These companies are going to have to hire these people come on board who specialize in BIM.
Most companies, large firms, have a BIM manager, and they control the content going in and going out and format it the right way. And we have our own, you know, they're the guys that go out to certain websites and pull things in for, we want this toilet, this couch, this light, and they format it and scale it down and make it light or whatever, strip out whatever they need to do or leave what they want in there and then put it on their servers so that, but yes, there's typically a gatekeeper in every firm to control the amount of content that's coming
out. So yeah, this new position, you know, leading to my next question is, how has BIM content used to save time or let's say even money?
We've touched on a few things. One of the things that I've seen in the industry, that one of the larger manufacturers of elevators and escalators out there has done is something really cool, I think. So as an example, an architect or an engineer specifies an escalator or an elevator specific to a structure, right? It has specific needs, specific people movers, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. Well, they can take this information now, go to the vendor's website, type in all their specifics, answer a few questions, and it will build BIM content specific for their product, but specific to that site. So then basically, the system builds itself. You can program these tools to do that. And now you can just download it and drop it into your structure, saving the architects and the engineers a ton of time. They don't need to spend time drawing every fixture or component that's in a building. But if you can go out to our website, spend a few minutes, get one configured specific to you with all the information that you require for analysis and other things
right
in the content, and then just drop it into your model and move on. That's what it's all about. We want architects just to have so much to do. Engineers have so much to do. There's ways out there for companies to make their jobs easier. And this is a prime example of one.
Well, that was really a great example, Jeff. Thanks. I appreciate it. We're going to wrap this session up today. I want to thank Jeff for sharing his wisdom with us today. And I want to thank all the listeners to another Watson Bowman podcast. I'm your host, John Manning. Work safe. Stay safe, everybody. And thanks, Jeff. Thanks for stopping in today. I really appreciate your wisdom.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the discussion. Yeah.
I want to take a moment to thank you for listening to a Life in Construction podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe so that we can continue to deliver your relevant construction industry content. We covered a lot of material today in this episode. And for those of you who want to dig even deeper, please visit us at our website at wbacorp.com for this episode's show notes. Until next time, I'm John Manning, and be safe.